Welcome to Faith and Fitness Magazine.
Of labor statistics, most of our time is spent primarily on sleep and personal care, followed by leisure and then work. If you feel busier than ever before, it's likely because you feel your time is scarce. As Kyle Kowalski, founder of the website Slow, that's S-L-O-W-W, explains, time management often does little more in our lives than help us to glorify busyness. He says instead we need to manage our mental bandwidth. That's where my guest Ginger Harrington comes in. She's the author of the book, Holy in the Moment, Simple Ways to Love God and Enjoy Your Life. In her Faith and Fitness magazine feature, Seven Ways to Pair Friendship and Fitness, she takes practical insights from her book and applies them to living a fitness lifestyle in fellowship with others. Ginger, thank you for joining me today.
It's great to be here.
Great. So in the introduction of your book, you begin with the question, what difference is holiness making in your everyday life? What's your answer to that, and what makes it the starting point of where you begin this conversation?
Well, that's a great question, Kim, and it is one that has meant a lot to me because I, years ago, read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which talks about God putting us together holy and whole, body, soul, and spirit. And as I began to learn about what holiness is, it includes this idea of wellness and wholeness. And that was something that I desperately needed in my life because I felt like my emotions were going one way, my busy factor was going another, my body wasn't cooperating with me, and I was trying to grow spiritually and trying to get it all together at the same time just was not coming together very well.
All that trying to do is very busy, right?
Yes.
So when you talk in your book about being in the moment, can you take a moment and just, you know, tell me, maybe dig a little deeper into what you mean by being in the moment?
Sure. When things are going on in the moment, our minds can be racing ahead or reaching backwards. We can be thinking about 15 things at one time and not be fully present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the moment, I can be worried about something else, and that is distracting me, as well as increasing my stress level and tempting me to not trust God.
Yeah, I understand that feeling quite well. Sometimes I think that's even as we're trying to pray, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the research says that we're not as busy as we think. Almost seems hard to believe. I think many people feel they are way overextended and stressed. Your book subtitle, Simple Ways to Love God and Enjoy Your Life, suggests that you too find managing that mental bandwidth and making simple choices is really key to our physical and spiritual wellness. So can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. The things that are happening in the moment oftentimes want to pull us away from being in a place of trusting God and relying on the strength and the provision of Christ. You know, sometimes we talk about walking in the Spirit. Well, that happens moment by moment. And when we divert to fear or worry or bitterness or anger or distraction, we're not able to access all that God has for us in the moment through those provisions in the Holy Spirit. So when we choose to just stop in the moment and think about what's really going on, what's really true? What do I actually need to be doing right now? It just helps us to focus.
Are there tools that you use like to help you focus with those thoughts? You know, I can imagine, you know, all of us have probably had those panic attack moments at some point or the other, or we worry about something. But do you have like any way that you organize those thoughts? And I hate to put it that way, but you know, are able to bring yourself into focus?
Yes, actually I do. And one of the things that's been really helpful for me is to recognize what some of my trigger thoughts are. because I have struggled with anxiety in the past, and that anxiety had a lot to do with the instability and mobility of living life as a military family and some health issues that kind of coincided with some cross-country moves. And so I've been learning that there's certain thoughts that come to mind. You know, I know that when I experience discouragement, when I experience stress, when I experience that feeling of comparison, comparing myself with someone else, or frustration, so oftentimes those feelings are messages to what I'm actually believing in the moment. And so this simple tool of just being able to stop in the moment and say, Lord, what is this really about?
Mm-hmm.
Or, Lord, what am I believing in this moment? What is really true? Really helps me to gain perspective and not let my emotions drive my decisions.
I can really see where, especially, you know, we're talking about fitness, but even being comparing ourselves to others, that's a very good tool. I know I've, you know, sometimes I find myself, you know, doing the same thing, but I do try to stop and go, you know, who am I? You know, who am I and what am I doing? And, you know, that I'm not somebody else, you know, trying not to get myself worked up over something.
Mm-hmm. And that's a decision that you're making in the moment. Because if we don't stop in the moment and just let our thoughts run wild with us, they can take us to some really unproductive places, whether we're talking fitness or not.
Mm-hmm. So would you mind telling me a little bit about your fitness lifestyle? I know that I see that you lead an aqua fitness class at your local recreation center. So first, I have a couple questions to go with this, but, you know, tell me a little bit about your fitness lifestyle.
I just try to move.
Mm-hmm.
As a writer, it is so easy for me to be at my desk all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so my baseline is move throughout the day. You know, if I'm working at the computer, I get up, I walk around the house, I take the dog for a walk. I think you probably just heard the dog a moment ago. Fold a load of laundry, just move and come back and work some more. Fitness-wise, I definitely, because I'm in my 50s, I stopped running a while back and I work more on weight training, walking, and then I teach anywhere from 4 to 8 classes a week.
Wow.
And so that keeps me busy too.
Yeah, that does. So how well do you think people understand that fitness and faith go hand in hand?
You know, it's something that I don't think people are talking a whole lot about, except probably readers of your wonderful magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've loved when I met you guys, I've loved that you guys had paired these two things together, because for me, when I'm working out, particularly if I'm walking or doing some kind of workout where I'm by myself, it is just automatically a great time to pray, to meditate on Scripture, to be thinking about things that the Lord is teaching me. And it is a time that I'm always trying to invite the Lord into that so that I am mindfully present with the Lord as I exercise. So I really like bringing those two things together.
Mm-hmm. I think it probably helps. You know, when people are probably working out and stuff, maybe the guards get down maybe a little bit and people begin to open up too. And I think all those things are definitely can, you know, be merged and we can use it to help others, all those things.
Oh, absolutely.
So the theme for the June-July 2019 issue of Faith and Fitness magazine is In the Flesh. Your article, along with others, helps readers consider how busy, ambitions create clutter and how God has much to accomplish through us as we nurture friendships and make intentional commitment to engage directly in the flesh with others as the preferred method of social interaction. Talk about what God has shown you when it comes to living, quote, in the flesh.
For me, God has been teaching me that living in the flesh is any time I am defaulting to my own self-effort, my own ambitions, my own ways of trying to make myself okay or get myself together that are apart or independent from Christ. And that's kind of a little bit of a different take on the flesh, but all of those fleshly attributes that are listed in Scripture, they all have their root in finding their source of life and enjoyment and purpose and value and security in something or someone other than Christ. And that diverts us into the flesh.
Very good. So let me add on to this. So this is a little more, another question. What makes a face-to-face conversation more effective than sending a text or email or posting a social media message, in your opinion?
Oh, I love that you asked that question. As a parent of three young adults who prefer to converse via text,
yes,
I totally get this. One of the things that is so important about face-to-face is eyeball to eyeball. You are able to see expressions on people's faces and hear the nuances in the voice, because we know that so much of communication is nonverbal, and that completely does not translate in a text or an email.
Yeah, I think it's hard to, somebody recently asked me about, you know, when you Skype, trying to Skype, you know, even interviewing different people, like for jobs and things of that nature. And I think it's hard, like you said, it's hard to kind of feel people out sometimes or find out, you know, really what's happening in their lives just through like text or email and stuff like that. So very good. So I love the seven tips you outlined in the Faith and Fitness magazine article, Seven Ways to Pair Friendship and Fitness. But the article just highlights these tips, and I know you have so much more to share about each one. Do you mind if we do that now, just kind of touch on each one?
I'd love it.
Okay. So the first is invite a friend to work out with you. Now, I'm not sure that maybe that might not be my first impulse to do. I find it maybe, well, maybe I'm a little bit more introvert, would have a hard time doing that. But could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. I want to give you just a little bit of background where this post came from. And
okay,
that is, as a writer, I work introverted work. I'm by myself and oftentimes feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And I have limited amount of time for fitness and limited amount of time for social relationships, and both of those things are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was constantly making a decision, well, do I get together with a friend or do I go work out? And you know, when you're having to choose between two things that are valuable to you, you're constantly feeling like you're missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like feeling like that. So
mm-hmm.
I just realized, hey, when I can invite a friend to do something active, it's a win-win. I'm getting
mm-hmm.
time to get to know someone with and enjoy time together, but we're also doing something productive for our fitness level and our bodies.
Oh, very good. So, secondly, you encourage our readers to make a plan.
Yes, and, you know, so oftentimes we give tips that are things that we've struggled with
mm-hmm.
and realized, oh, this actually helps. And I am super bad about making plans, and I am just learning to be more intentional with people. The busier
mm-hmm.
I get, the more intentional I need to be. Because,
I like that, intentional
yes,
with people. That's very good.
Absolutely. Because if I am not intentional, it is not going to happen. And so making a plan for fitness, making a plan for friendship, and then realizing, hey, when I can bring those two of those together, that's good too, because oftentimes it encourages a friend to get more active as well. And so then you've got a nice accountability piece happening.
Oh, very good. So you also tell us that rather than searching for the right friend, instead, be the friend you want to have. So tell me about that one.
Well, I think that sometimes we can feel like, oh, you know, that this friendship's just not a great fit, or I'm really waiting to find someone that I connect with. And in the busyness of life, I think that if we focus more on being the friend that we want to have, being a good friend to others, then the other side of that coin is going to work itself out. And we will find those folks that we connect with. And when we're intentional, then we can make time to be with those friends that we connect with. But if we're not a good friend to be with, then it's going to be hard to find that perfect friend.
Perfect friends might not want to be with us either. Right?
I know.
So I really like that you suggest that we cheer others on. This really can be a powerful use of our fitness time and effort. So tell me a little more on that one.
I think that we live in a world that is very competitive, And it's so easy on social media. We're seeing people's best moments. We're seeing their wins and their vacations. And it's easy to feel like everybody's life is perfect and going great. And when we can back up and just take the competition factor out and just focus on encouraging others, cheering others on. I mean, and that's a biblical thing. The Apostle Paul tells us, encourage one another, that is so very, very important. And you just never know that time that you're cheering somebody on, that might be that day that they really needed to have a positive word of affirmation. And you just have no idea how meaningful that can be at specific moments.
Very good. And then you insert a tip that I'm not sure most of us fully comprehend to be, and that is, quote, holy in the moment. And you say quite bluntly, don't compare. Can you elaborate?
Well, just, you know, referring back to that social media piece, as a woman in my 50s, you know, my waistline is not as small as it used to be, and I don't have a Barbie doll figure, and particularly I think in the fitness world, we are in clothes where our legs are showing or we've got leggings or, you know, it's just very easy to be body conscious. And to compare ourselves with others. And oftentimes, particularly for women, find ourselves wanting. And that's just not a healthy way to think. And being able to enjoy the body that God's put us in and take good care of it through fitness and through social and through the spiritual and through the emotional and not compare ourselves, it allows us to be fully present with who God made us to be. And then if he wants to grow us in something or change something or tweak something, then he's working that and we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit rather than, you know, feeling bad about ourselves because we're not the body size that we'd like to be or maybe we're not as in a power lifting class. I can't lift as much weight or I have back trouble so I can't get down on the floor. You know, we all have a myriad of issues. And if we allow those things to keep us from participating either in social relationships or in fitness, then, you know, we just lose out on so much. So just teaching ourselves.
I think it even would help also making friends, you know, finding those people that may be doing that, you know, that they are they kind of are frozen because they're afraid to do something because they're constantly comparing. And I think that's such a great a thought that you've brought out, all these tips. Very good. So I don't think we realize how important tip six is. And why do you think that keeping confidences is critical when we pair friendships and fitness?
Well, so oftentimes, particularly if you have a walking buddy or a running buddy, something where, well, it's kind of hard to keep a conversation going when you're running, but if you're super fit, maybe so. But particularly for walking buddies or the kinds of fitness where you can converse as you're working out, it just exercise lends itself to conversation at times, and you're at times going to share things that are on your mind and on your heart. And being able to keep those confident and not gossip, not talk to other people about when someone has been authentic and transparent and shared needs or concerns, being that trustworthy friend it just pays huge dividends in your relationships and in your character.
Yeah, very good. So your final tip is to be real. Wow, is that, you know, we could even say, is that even possible in today's culture, you know? And we have so many like the Instagram photos and all these things, but you say to be real. So would you expound on that?
Yes, I think, you know, particularly because I have a military background and we move, you know, generally every 3 to 5 years, 2 years, anywhere in that time frame. And so you're constantly having to start over with relationships. And I know that some women, whether they're in the military or not, can really struggle to be authentic with other women. Maybe they've been hurt in the past. Maybe they have been left out or betrayed or gossiped about. And so I think we have to be careful about who we are real with. Yeah. But when we're in a relationship with a friend and we're working out together, to be real, you know, if your knee's hurting you, you know, being able to say, my knee hurts. If you're struggling with a relationship and it's really pulling you down, to be able to say, I'm struggling with this right now. And being able to talk about the things that are going on in your lives, it deepens the friendship. And we all need those deep-hearted friends that we can be real and transparent with. And that might not mean that we're completely transparent with every friend that we have, but it's important that we have a friend that we can be transparent with.
Very good. So Ginger, in previous conversations we've had over meals, I know it was just, it was so enjoyable to share our hearts and hopes with each other. I think there's a perception that in the flesh, friendships can be awkward or just too time-consuming, but it really is worthwhile and remarkably simple. How would you challenge those listening to overcome their reservations and truly discover the difference that pairing friendships and fitness can make?
I think starting simple is a great way to go on this. And just invite a friend to go for a walk. Go for a walk with someone and just see where it goes.
So you're like taking the first step.
Yes. You know, so oftentimes we wait for other people to invite us. And in today's busy world, a lot of our social graces are kind of falling by the wayside. And a lot of times people don't think to invite people anymore. And so be the one that issues the first step, who gives the invitation, and don't keep score. You know, so oftentimes I've invited three times and they haven't invited me back. And, you know, if you're connecting with that friend and you guys are having a great time and you're willing to invite, go ahead and invite. Don't worry about that kind of thing.
Very good. So Ginger, thank you for writing such a practical and heart-changing book, and thank you for taking time to share with us.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity to just share some thoughts and encourage folks to be active and to draw some, you know, pull some friendships into activity levels as well.
Very good. So to our listeners, so Ginger Harrington's book, Holy in the Moment, is available from Abingdon Press, wherever books are sold, and you can find a link for it in Faith and Fitness magazine. Be sure to share this podcast with others and get your free newsletter delivered directly to your inbox. What's your story? Tell us. Simply text my story to the 5-digit number 22828. I'm Kimberly Bloom for Faith and Fitness magazine. Thank you.